All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. New episodes every Monday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Loose for Conroy. Conroy brings it in front. Shot! Scores! Craig Conroy scores in overtime. Now Wagenda holds it out front. They score!
2-on-1 shapes up. Nilsson with McGeer. Conroy scores! Craig Conroy! They go the other way. They score! Nice play by Conroy.
This is home. I do have a passion. I have a passion for this team. I have a passion for this city. I just feel so appreciative that I'm going to have that opportunity, because I'm going to do everything in my power to bring a Stanley Cup here.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Okay Show Me podcast. I know you've been saying that. I've been saying this all day to myself. I don't know about you.
Okay, show me.
Show me. Okay. I mean, you brought it up on the last one. That's, what's his name?
Lalo Salamanca.
Which, by the way, for the record, I think Better Call Saul is better than Breaking Bad, personally.
Absolutely.
That is like is that a slow burn? Is that the definition of that?
Oh, man. It's like,
that's like the slowest.
Slowest burn.
That's like embers on a fire that lasts for like 8 hours burn.
So good.
So good. Anyhow, the reason why I brought that up, if you missed the last one, is, well, you just said it very succinctly. I'll let you do that, because I even took your words in a couple of arguments onto the Twitterscapes and said, you know what? We've been smacked around and slapped around and slapped around, smacked around, kicked to the curb, and then they want us to trust them again.
It's funny that, like, what's funny to me is, like, everybody's totally back on board all of a sudden, eh? It's just that's all it took.
I know. And honestly, I'll be honest, I'm kind of on board now too.
Oh, yeah. But
it's amazing what a little bit of clarity will do to people, eh?
2 weeks ago.
Okay, we finally know a direction. Wow, that feels good.
That's the other thing that's funny to me, too, and we'll talk about the specifics of what Conroy said, but it's like, he didn't really say anything groundbreaking. It was just, like, basic level stuff, but it's like, we're not even used to that here. We're like, you, they're going to play young players? Holy shit! Wow! Never heard of it. It's like the most, that's what every other franchise like, in the league does.
Yeah. It's like, if he was doing this speech in the arena, he would have got a standing fucking ovation, right? And yeah, what is the bar here, right? Isn't this supposed to be the standard?
I'm saying, like, the bar is so fucking low. All a guy has to do is come in and say, yeah, we're going to give some young kids opportunities and draft well. And everyone's like, holy shit, we're saved. It's like 2 weeks
ago. Oh my God, I love this guy.
2 weeks ago, everyone was like, oh, this team is going nowhere. Murray, until there's an ownership change, fuck Murray Edwards, fuck the entire organization, screw everyone. And Murray's like, hey, let's hire Conroy. And everyone's like, oh, we're saved.
You know what I realized by all of a sudden seeing Craig Conroy all over the screens now? I haven't seen Craig Conroy forever. It's been like 30 years. Where has this guy been?
He looks a little aged.
He looks a little aged. Looks a little bit like Brad.
He's slowly becoming Brad. He had the glasses. I saw a picture of him with Brad's glasses.
Very distinct look.
He's got that weird little hair cut where it's like really short and kind of balding at the front a little bit.
Yeah, that's like that's classic American, almost military cut.
He's been holed up with Brad so long, he's slowly morphed into Brad.
Exactly. When you share pizza from the same box. For 10 years.
Anyways, DNA,
eventually, cross-pollinates and you start to become each other.
Dude, look at his glasses. Like, he looks like, you know how we've always said Brad looks like he's just a dork who, like, sells used cars for a living? Oh. Let's say Conroy looked like he just came off the lot of, like, East Side Dodge used section and was, like, selling cars that morning.
True, but at least Conroy kind of looks like
a guy I respect and like.
Yeah. You would be total, like, you wouldn't be like,
look, dweeb.
Hey, you wouldn't be like, look, this is a dork.
Exactly. Conroy's not going to be like getting bullied at GM meetings.
No, he would pretend not to bully you and then bully you behind your back, though.
Totally.
That's what you got to love about
him. I think the general consensus where you're telling me to put this succinctly is like, yeah, this is all well and good. They're saying all the right things. I liked a lot of what Craig Conroy said yesterday, but I have to see real action take place before, you know, or.
Yeah,
we're back on board because again, like this is kind of like turned into a because I've always like said the Flames relationship, our relationship with the Flames is like a toxic one. But I'm kind of realizing that it is kind of like both ways. Like this is a codependent relationship.
Fans
feed into this just as much as they do. They're like the girlfriend or the boyfriend who is like, oh, they screw up and like I've changed for real this time. I've changed, and we're just like, yep, yeah, they have changed. For the 400th time, they're telling us they've changed when they really haven't. I believe you. It's just, it's really a codependent relationship. So, I mean, I'm happy for Craig. I like Craig. I can root for Craig. At least this organization has somebody who I like, because I sure don't like many of the players. At least I can like the GM. But I still, like, I don't know what has changed much outside of the like, surface level stuff at this point. So.
Okay. Show me.
Exactly.
Show me. I think that's fair. Yeah, totally. Get slapped around, smacked around, kicked to the curb.
Get your nuts fondled, get them kicked.
Instead of, please, sir, may I have another? How about you show me? I get it. Like I said, even just having some fucking clarity of who and what direction, and I think that's key. Conroy is basically communicating some sort of vision, some sort of change that he intends to implement. He better not pull this politician bullshit and not do what he says. I don't think he will. But, I mean, it is nice. It is refreshing. Schnitz sent me this. I think he listened, so give him some credit. Basically, five main takeaways from Conroy's press conference. I didn't watch the whole thing, but I did watch SportsCenter and Sportsnet where they took some clips, and he's fucking full of energy still. Hey,
oh yeah, that press conference was going to be like 10 minutes long, and it was like an hour.
God, he must be a motor mouth, or he is a motor mouth, but he must be like, you know, Craig, could you just wrap it up? This meeting was supposed to be done 3 hours ago. Oh, serious?
It's probably why Brad left. He's fucking sick of the four-hour meeting.
All right, here's the five takeaways. Build and develop through the draft. Again.
Yes.
Like you were saying. Okay. You mean you weren't doing that?
Why weren't you doing that before? Why have you never done that?
Number two, youth. This is a change? Number two, youth movement. Why? Like you said, and I get it. And then I do agree with the Daryl Sutter hate contingent that there was too much of a propensity towards the older fucking shitty players. Milan Lucic. Is that obvious enough?
Brett Ritchie. Trevor Lewis. Tobias Reeder. Zach Renault.
Kevin Rooney.
Kevin Rooney. Brandon Boleg.
Tobias Reeder.
Chris Stewart. Joachim Nordstrom. Go down the freaking run the gamut.
And this is interesting because did you see? I think I sent you this. This was circulating today that Conroy is basically putting to bed the rumor that Brad Tree Living wasn't really calling all the shots and pulling all the strings. He was. And one of the things he even spoke out against about versus what Brad Tree Living was doing was filling the training camp with old vets on PTOs. I don't think we're going to see that, but the sounds of it,
Conroy
would like to fill the training camp with young prospects. Like, again, and I think we've talked about this in the past, but let's just take Val Mackey, for example. Or Jacob Pelletier, for example. I mean, these are the guys that had legitimate chances to make the starting roster. Oh, what's this? Brad just signed his third PTO? Or not even. What was Kevin Rooney's deal? He made over $1 million.
He's a 2-year deal he signed for like $2.6 million.
Wow. So, again, it's all about
on day one of free agency.
And what kind of a message does that send to your young guys? Do you want them to come into camp thinking they have a legitimate shot at the team? And then their tryout is based on them giving it everything they got? Or do you want them to be like, oh, they told me I have a shot, but they just brought in four more vets. And we know they're going to play ahead of me. Like, we've been doing this fucking song and dance for fucking...
Oh, yeah.
This is Brad's MO.
Exactly. And that's why it's like, it's not just Daryl that has been a fan of this. Brad's been doing this since the day he got here. Like, the Brandon Bowler... Remember when they traded Paul Byron? Remember Paul Byron? Him? Dude. Small little guy, talented.
Yeah. This really fast guy that's good
really
circles
fast, who scored like, I think he had a 30 goal season after we traded him to Montreal. But we traded him to make room for Brandon Bowling. So like, and that's right. You've listened to this show long enough. That happens every year. You got your Readers, Nordstrom's, Richie's every year, you know? So that to me is like, it's not even a giving kids chances. It's how you run a successful hockey team in a salary cap era.
Right. Because
you have the fringes of your roster filled with guys on ELCs.
This is how you continue to move forward into the future instead of moving backwards by getting older every single fucking year.
It's like, why do we, we don't have any cap space? Well, it's weird because our fourth line is getting paid $10 million. Between Lucic, Richie, the other Rooney, like it's ridiculous.
Like at the highest point it's ever been, what was the bottom six was making like what 30 mil or some shit? Remember we added up that one time? It was fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, it was insane. It was like, and especially like because you look back at how they had that actual good bottom six when they had like Bennett and Ryan and Hathaway and Mangiapane as the fourth line, and then they shifted gears and made it like the most expensive slow old fourth line in existence for the next 4 years.
Gotta get bigger.
Just ridiculous.
So that was the second point, youth movement. And like you said, yes, you love to hear it, but it's not like this is a groundbreaking fucking idea or concept or notion. This is just like, yeah, like you said, this is how you run a fucking hockey team. Hello? Yeah.
So everyone else has been doing it for like 20 years.
Woo! Hey, standing ovation. Let's go. Number three, structure in your own end and creativity in the offensive zones. I thought this is a good way to put this. I would say that Daryl Sutter did not push creativity. I mean, I grew up playing in through the National Sport Academy in Calgary, and like you're on the ice 2-3 times a week, and that's all you do. That's all you practice is that type of shit. And then I remember going to play in junior, and it was Harvey Smeal, and it's just like his practices were like fuck. There's not a lick of that. Like you do drills where you just start at the blue line, skate around a cone, and you had to fire it like while you're skating around the cone. It's just like it's basically Daryl Sutter hockey. So I can get behind that, but again, show me. So if that's part of their, team identity moving forward, then hey, maybe there's a chance here they will learn. They'll take away some good things that Sutter implemented, playing all three zones, being responsible in the defensive end, and then maybe try and open things up, you know, from the other side of the red line. I mean, Johnny Gaudreau and Chucky, they were so skilled. And then you had Monty when he could finish. I mean, that line with Lindholm, that was incredible. But like the amount of odd man rushes we had in 18-19, scoring off the rush. I mean, we were a high octane offensive team. We were winning like fucking 9-6, 9-7 and shit.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Remember when we came back against the Avs? There's two comebacks that year that were insane. Like the Avs, they were down like 4-1. They win 5-4. And then the one against Philly where they're down like 4 goals in the third and just rifle off 3 goals in the last like 2 minutes.
And I think they scored 2 in the last one, right?
Yeah, 2 in like the last minute.
And Chucky was like, when we scored the one to make go within 1, you knew we were going to tie it up.
Yeah.
He said that was when he said that's the loudest he's heard the dome, right? Regular season, obviously. And then, yes, that's basically honestly, I have 2 memories of James Neal. Not back checking in the Colorado series, the series winning goal. And Johnny jumping into James Neal's arms when he was at the tying goal or the game winning goal against.
I think that was the Valimaki makes a great hit.
Oh, fuck, that was awesome.
Like a rookie. And I think that was the go ahead goal or it might have been the tying goal. I think Gio scored the go ahead.
The other thing that he, again, great point, because he mentions sitting there after Johnny left and how that was a big learning process for him, that a guy walked of Johnny's caliber and you didn't recoup any assets. And he basically says he sat in there in the office for some time and he realized, shit, we can never let that happen again. Why do you have to go through that process in order to learn that lesson? Isn't that kind of a given? Isn't that what all the armchair GMs are talking about all the time?
That don't recoup know what they're the talking asset. About?
Recoup the asset. Now we'll just see what happens. Oh, we lost it. Oh, well.
I mean, learning from your mistakes is good, but it's funny that you have to get absolutely fucking torched to learn your lesson.
The point five, coaches and management need to be a cohesive unit.
Yeah, again.
That probably wasn't happening with Daryl. There was this one unit. Hey, there was the big unit. That was it.
Well, I mean, so in all fairness, like, how are you supposed to work with Brad? Like, Daryl probably was calling Brad a dork and shit and bullying him. It's probably pretty funny.
Yeah. I think about that bullying point you made and, you know, maybe it's what was happening.
Hey, maybe Daryl bullied Brad enough so much that we finally have a good GM in place.
Yep. Walked into the meeting with Brad. Hey, Poindexter. Oh, that's bad. Okay. So anyways, final kind of thoughts on Connie. I mean, I'm excited again, just because like just some news, there's a new direction. You can't deny there's a fresh feeling. And obviously tied into all this too is the whole Jerome McGinley thing. It sounds like he needs to coach his son one last year in junior or something like that. And then he's going to be joining the organization. So to know that's kind of part of this decision and on the horizon. I mean, you can look at the flip side too, where I don't know what podcast it was. It was a recent one where we're like, okay, is it, are they, because they interviewed 35 people. Is that, that was the number I heard?
Yeah, like it was like 30 to 40 and they did like 8 Zoom meetings. So I don't know how in depth they interviewed these 30 to 40. It sounds like they kind of talked to 30 or 40 people.
Yeah. And then even the names that were kind of the final candidates, we were just like, yikes. I thought we were supposed to get younger and
progressive.
What was the words? Yeah, younger and progressive. You got all these old timers up there.
Stan Bowman, Dave Nonis, who we'll get to. Who else? Bergevin was on the list. Just like, yeah, really young. It's kind of funny though. Conroy is the oldest at the age of being hired. Conroy is the oldest Flames GM. At 51. Brad was like 45. Fletcher was in his 30s. I think Feaster was younger than he was. So was Daryl. So he's like the oldest GM at the age of hiring. They've hired.
Pop quiz. What number of GM is this for the Flames?
I believe it's 8.
That's correct. Craig Conroy is the 8th GM in Flames history. Is that Calgary or is that Atlanta?
I think that's got to be Calgary.
I think that's just Calgary, yeah.
Is it?
I think so.
Did they count Burke in this?
I don't think so. Was he acting?
He was like just interim.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think they count Burke.
So, anyways.
No, it can't be because Cliff was the only GM in Atlanta, wasn't he? That's total.
Okay. So, I mean, we said, look, is this just lip service? And they're just really looking like they're doing all this, but everybody knows it's going to be Conroy. And it kind of turned out like that way. But I think at the end of the day, could we have got, I don't know, where, what's your final kind of say on in the actual decision to make Conroy? Like, I'm excited, but.
No, I am too. I think you can't, like, I'm just. Because I know a lot of people are really bought back in, but it's kind of like, I think you can't not be a little wary of the Flames knowing that this would get them PR, good PR, right? Like, that was definitely one of the pros of hiring Conroy, right? So,
oh, fuck.
You know, totally. Like, as we've seen, it's instant fan buy-in at a time when fans are absolutely fucking pissed.
Well, so, plus the mention of Iginla.
Yeah, exactly. It gets everybody excited without really doing anything different, really, other than being like, hey, remember this guy you used to love? And it's not quite like that because he's been with the organization. Like, it's not like he hasn't earned it, but don't kid yourself if, like, Murray Edwards isn't sitting there going, yeah, like, this would be great because everybody will be right back on board. Like, you think season ticket sales are not going to be way up now? It's like, no, they considered that. And that's a big part of that. So I don't think you can not be wary of that, right? And I mean, especially since, like, I kind of have an issue with them, like, hiring Nonis. It's like, what has really changed? Everything up until this point has kind of been done to kind of maintain the status quo, other than you have Craig in Brad's old chair, and everybody loves Craig. So I think you can't give them automatic buy-in and be like, yeah, I trust you guys again, just because they made what is in at the very least, in part, a bit of a PR move, right? Like, it was a factor.
Although Craig does come out and kind of call the two biggest issues that we've seen in the last season, essentially, which is just like, why, what's with all these old fucks? Why does Brad keep signing all these 30 plus year old long deals? And you're just like, how much longer can you go on this way? You keep getting old. The league keeps getting younger and younger and younger, and the Flames just keep getting older and older and older. So, and I mean, the speed of the game now, God, fuck, we were slow last year.
Well, dude, it's crazy. It's crazy to watch. Like, I know Dallas is getting freaking rickrolled in the conference final here, but it's like Wyatt Johnson scores the game-winning goal in game 7 in round 2. I'm like, oh, man, he's pretty young. Yeah, he's drafted in the same draft year Coronado's drafted in. He's fucking playing in the Stanley Cup playoffs, huge minutes, scoring huge goals. You know, it's like, this is so goofy what we've been doing the last 10 years, you know?
Yeah, it's so Tobias Reeder can play a season. So yeah. Kevin Rooney can play 2 games.
It's just ridiculous.
Joakim, like, Nordstrom.
And the young guys on
Nesterov.
This team. Yeah.
Like, how many minutes did Nesterov take away from Valimaki?
Dude, Valimaki was a health. What about Shillington that year? Remember in the bubble? He was like sent to Siberia. We didn't even see him. It's just insane. And like you said, Nesterov's play.
Is that where he went back to last season?
Maybe. Who knows?
I kind of liked it there.
Maybe I'll stay there. But it's like, yeah, it's just like so ridiculous to see these guys who are actually young. It's like our young guys are like Dubé, who's 25. Like, that's not young.
Sam Bennett, isn't it?
Yeah. So, you know, I think you, it's not about being negative. Like, oh, this was just a PR thing. I don't think it was that. I think you have to be a little wary of that, you know, given this ownership group and how shitty this team has been run for the last however many 20, 30 years. I think you have to keep that in mind. So I think only time will tell if this was like the complete right choice or the easy choice. I really hope it is the right choice. Because, yeah, and the other thing is too, like, you have to consider with these dopes. And I mean, I've heard people make this argument about Brad before too. And I kind of agree to an extent. They're like, well, he's not the best, but you don't trust them to hire anyone better. Like, yeah, I kind of agree with that a little bit. So maybe he's not the most super qualified candidate and not the most progressive candidate and not somebody who's going to come in and turn the entire direction of the franchise around. But he seems to be good enough at this point.
Yeah, I mean, if we, like I said, if we can see an end to just that, the big issue of getting older and slower all the time, and
not drafting well and not developing players and losing young players.
Yeah. What do you think they're going to do with, do you think there's a chance that they actually, well, Craig actually trades someone the likes of Backlund or Toffoli before the season starts?
Well, I think it's funny how open, that's the other thing I have liked about him. And at first, I was kind of off-putting because, you know, I think we all have this assumption that he's just kind of a happy-go-lucky kind of, like, we're not sure if he's cut out for this. Yeah, right? Like, how is this guy going to run a team? But it is, I think it's kind of more refreshing than Brad's, like, you know, politician talk bullshit. It's like, you sent me some fucking quote Brad said about Conroy the other day. It was just like, I'm so glad I never have to hear another word salad quote that means nothing for Brad.
Milk and cookies.
Holy shit.
You made this point. Just grab a clip from any time in a timeline. Go back 8 years.
Yeah.
Jumble them all up. You can't tell when's when. It's the same old shit every time.
Exactly. So it's kind of nice to hear Conroy talk so openly. And he was very open. He was like, we can't go in. We have 7 unrestricted free agents heading into the next year that we can't go. We can't do that. Right.
Oh, why not?
Have to deal with that.
Why not? I thought he was good.
You can do that. Why not?
So he did learn from Brad True Living what not to do.
Hey, if he takes everything Brad did wrong and does it right, this team will be at the top of the league in no time.
Speaking of Brad, we'll come back and wrap this up with notice and whatnot, but let's segue over to Toronto. It sounds like you sent me this. Brad's the leading candidate for Toronto?
Apparently.
How do you go from Dubas to fucking Tree Living? It's what is going on over there?
I don't know. It's like, what do they see? Like, I don't like when they get to the part in his resume where it's like, okay, you lost Gaudreau and Tkachuk and Valimaki and Bennis, like
replace them with the biggest NHL drop off in NHL history. And who are these free agents? Who's James Neal? Is that guy still playing? Where's James Neal these days?
He's just like that guy in Office Space. Like, what exactly do you do here? I deal with the goddamn customers. I have people skills. Don't you understand?
What is wrong with you people?
Exactly. It's weird. Brad's reputation seems to precede him. And like I said this to somebody, I was like, I bet he will go there and the team Dupe is built will like win the cup and he'll get all the credit.
No shit, eh?
Or he'll lose Austin Matthews, which would be kind of funny.
I have a feeling that he'd be exposed for the fraud that he is.
Hey.
That's a little harsh. I know there are Brad True Living fans, but
some of the Leafs fans, it is kind of coming out, man. Like the Leafs fans are like looking through our drafts being like, what the fuck? What has this guy been doing for the last 10 years?
Good luck getting never-ending blind support from the Leaf fan base like you got here in Calgary. Good luck with that.
No shit.
They're going to eat that guy alive.
Hey, well,
I'm here to sit back and eat my popcorn and watch that shit show personally. Not to say Brad couldn't do a good job. Like you said, like, look what he would be inheriting. A Stanley Cup fucking caliber team. That'd be really hard to fucking fuck that up, but we'll see.
He could find a way, man. I'm
sure he could. The whole Dubas thing's interesting, eh?
Yeah, it's really weird how that shook down. Really weird.
I don't know what will happen over there, but I would love to see Brad Treloar become the GM and see what happens elsewhere.
See how his food metaphors fly over in Toronto.
What a Boston pizza metaphors. So the one thing I didn't particularly love about what Connery had to say was, I just want to have fun. That's going to be your number one priority. Seriously.
Fuck me.
As long as we're all having fun and look down the bench and guys are having a good time, you know.
It's all winning's that matters.
Good. Winning's good too, but, you know, fun. So that kind of scared the shit out of me because, maybe he is right. I'm sitting there and I'm watching him go off in this fun rant. And I get it. It's a workplace. There's nothing more fun than winning. So just win and then you'd be having fun. Don't mope and lose and then complain about everything. But maybe he's going to, he seems like a pretty fun guy, doesn't he? Doesn't he?
Greg? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see if there's a, you know, palpable change in the culture of this organization by removing Mr. Deer in the Headlights and Mr. Big Meanie and replacing that with Craig Conroy, Mr. Fun Guy. And who knows, maybe Mitch Love. I guess we'll go to some coach talk too. It will be interesting. That's going to be kind of the first thing I start to maybe look for in the first 6 to 8 to 12 weeks of the season. Is there a palpable change in the energy of there fucking better be.
Oh, dude. Can you imagine?
When I hear post game or post practice interviews with Weir and Huber, these guys better be fucking ecstatic. I don't want to see these guys mope around once all season. Anyways,
better be doing fucking stand up comedy after every. I didn't like the fun. There was a few comments. So he hit on some points that I said, like, if I hear these things, I'm really going to be annoyed. And he did hit on all of them while also hitting on the things I wanted to hear. Like he mentioned, like, oh, look at Florida. You just got to get in. I was like, fuck. He didn't mention anything about the fact that Florida has one of the best players in the entire fucking world. And that's who's why that? That's why they're doing well.
Who?
Called Matthew Tkachuk. Never heard of him?
Oh, yeah. Is that? Oh,
yeah. He's Matthew, probably.
Oh, yeah. He was
an American. Yeah.
He was their draft. When did they draft him again?
Yeah. Not that long ago. Yeah.
No. Florida draft pick, right?
Yeah. And then a few other times he was like just talking about, oh, just get in. Anything can happen. And then the fun comment. It's like, you made a really good. We were watching the game that was in 4-0-T the other night. And it was like,
yeah.
Just like, again, playoffs are a war. And you were like, think those guys are having fun right now?
They sure weren't.
They weren't having fun.
Didn't Carolina had fun when they got scored on after fucking playing three games in one time?
So I hear it's
game one. They're going into the fourth overtime. So they played six periods. They're going to their third game.
Do you think you're looking down at the bench and going, oh, it looks like the guys are having fun. That's all that matters.
They're playing handball in between the intermissions. They're having so much fun. Hey, someone's wearing one of those little things that spin around when you put them on your hat. Yeah?
Little spinner thing? What are those called? Fidget spinner or something.
A little spinner on your hat with a little whistle. So
keep
much
having fun, guys.
Pass the animal balloons around.
You think Matthew Tkachuk is thinking, hey, I'm just having fun right now? When he goes out and scores those overtime winners? No, he's at war.
No, he wanted to get the fuck off the ice. Greatest celebration I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, I love that guy.
But it's hilarious. It is hilarious, though, because the deeper he goes and the bigger the impact he has, the more irate Flames fans get. And I think accurately, the more fucking dumb Tree Living looks.
Yeah, yeah. It's good. It's exposing everything, how ridiculous Bennett and Tkachuk being unbelievable, well, Tkachuk specifically, just exposes everything about this organization. It's a good thing. The organization needs to see that and be holy, like I said last time, they need to be looking at that and going, how the fuck did that happen?
Why didn't Craig bring that up? I guess he kind of alluded to it. I don't like the fact it's like, oh, we should have had some assets for it. Yeah. It's more like, why did he want to go in the first place?
Exactly.
Where were those mistakes? Because like, and I've been having this argument with people on Twitter, and it's just like, I don't care if Daryl was a meanie and that was part of the process. I don't care that he's American. I don't care. Like, it's like, someone made a great point. Keith Tkachuk played in a Canadian market.
Dude.
Brady plays in a Canadian market. Just signed a long-term extension. Matthew Tkachuk said he wanted to play here long-term. It's like, did he just decide from day one he was going to be out? His thoughts changed. And he even says himself, I love how it's just like, okay, we have an actual quote from the person himself.
No.
Who said, I was wanting to sign long term. But when the contract came and all there was a bridge deal offered, I decided to take it. Because then someone was even like, and the whole thing is, this is the Matthew Tkachuk debate. Is it Tree Living's fault or not? And people are like, oh, no, he always wanted to go. No, he didn't. Didn't always want to go. And then I see a comment. Yeah, the comment was, oh, yeah, you know, as soon as I signed my bridge deal, I kind of started to think maybe by the time that ended, I might be out of here. Someone's like, see, he wanted to go. Okay, go back 10 days before that when he said he wanted to sign long term.
No, time started when Daryl said,
No. Once you make a decision, it means you always thought that way since birth. Soon as you were born, you wanted to make the same decision. You never changed, ever. Nothing ever influences any decisions, ever. And this is my thing is like, Craig, he did kind of allude to this, but how about fostering an organization? And I think I don't think it was in this list that I read off, but I think I did see this. He did say this. I heard him say it. I did like this. You need to create a culture and an organization that attracts players. And when you have Hart nominees, potential Conn Smythe winners, they want to stay. That's your fucking job. Not the opposite, where you do things where they leave a bad taste in your best players.
Multiple things for 5-6 years.
Yeah, well, not thing after thing after thing. Like, if you'd be listening to this plot, like, we've been covering all this shit for the past, like, holy fuck. I'm not surprised he fucking left. I'd want to leave. Get me the fuck out of here, I'd say. And then,
why you'd want to leave? You get lowballed. So
the same thing with the exact same thing up with Johnny Gaudreau. Yeah, no shit, eh?
And
yeah. I wanted to sign long.
The captain.
He didn't want to, like, okay. If you're Matthew Tkachuk, you're stud. There's no denying it. He fucking is a Hart finalist. If not for McZitface up in, what do you want to call it? Shelbyville?
Buttfuck nowhere?
Edmonton? We're going to stab each other to death because we're watching our favorite
bite
team.
Fingers off.
We're going to bite our fingers off and stab each other because we're watching our hockey, our own team tonight.
Our own team that we're both cheering for.
You have Conn Smythe, potential Conn Smythe winner. You got to figure out how to keep these guys. You got to figure out how to roll out the red carpet. You got to figure out, just make him the fucking captain. You tell me, Matt, like, listen to this guy talk. This guy's a fucking true leader. I can't believe there was ever a fucking question whether this guy was captain material or whether he was a leader. Give me a fucking break. How do you see this?
Yeah, he's
he is the leader.
Exactly, the guy.
He is the leader. Barkov should pull Craig Connery and give him the seat. I'm not even kidding.
I've seen Florida fans. I'm pretty much a Panthers fan now. I spend a lot of time with Panthers fans. They say the same thing. They're like, I love Barkov. Kachuk should be captain.
Yeah. Barkov, hell of a player. Do you think he's leading that team? Pretty clear, pretty obvious.
Pretty obvious.
But don't offer a bridge deal. You got to show him you're willing to bend over backwards to lock him up. Error number one. What was he thinking? How do you not know that as a GM?
Everyone else, well, most
people. Oh, I think if, you know, do you mind if we keep some other guys around? Give us a chance to win. Oh, okay. I guess. When that falls flat on your face, and now Matthew Chuck's sitting there after a failure of a season, you're just like, and then, bubblier.
Could you tone it down there, bud, please?
Oh God, you were saying this that Boomer posted somewhere that the Muzzin incident was the last straw. Of course it was. Your GM fails you, and now you're still out there busting your fucking balls off. Have you ever seen who was the last player? Hathaway, Lomberg. Oh, another guy we forgot to mention.
This guy's hate to lose.
Playing in the third round now. Was there a guy that busts his ass off and, you know, showed up on a nightly basis more than Matthew Tkachuk in the last six seasons? This guy,
not even close.
How about Milan Lucic? How do those two compare? I mean, Gio was. He did.
Gio busted his ass.
Gio busted his ass.
Yeah.
But, like, you tell him that was an epic failure, dude. Of handling. How you call that leadership? How is that? Maybe there's a conversation to be had, but the main message to Matt, I think Tkachuk is like, we don't like this. Can you just chill?
And we can't figure this out. Like, you, we can't maximize what you bring to the table. We can't channel your energy and enthusiasm and
that's
testosterone into the best version of yourself.
Yep. There was zero leadership. There was the opposite. Because like the points you're making, if there was true leadership and there was a better version of Matthew Tkachuk available, they did not help him get there. And you saw it in the player. We all saw it in the player. A little bit of Matthew Tkachuk died. Yeah, that's real great management. Real just great leadership.
Totally neutered the guy.
Let's neuter our top players. Hey, why didn't Craig mention that? I think we're going to stop neutering our top players. That'll be part of the new process moving forward. Yay!
Sounds great. I think we're going to sign, like, it was funny because I was, like, looking through the list, because as you do, I argue with people this all the time. I was, like, looking through the list of, like, players who weren't bridged. And I was like, even Arizona had the brains to give their star guy, who's not even in the same realm as Matthew Tkachuk, a big deal out of entry level. Dude. Even they locked him up, and he wasn't even close to Kachuk's level. It's like,
dude,
epic failure.
Go back to the draft.
What was that, 2015 draft? 2016 draft. Matthew's first, Line A two.
Dude, there's some people going back that might even select Kachuk's
number one.
He might go over Matthews. Think about that. Not locked up. It's mind-boggling, dude. It's fucking mind-boggling. So, you can argue all you want, up and down. Don't give him an option to leave.
Exactly.
This is like someone's like, I'm predicting Matthew Tkachuk will be on the cover of the next year's NHL. He will.
Oh yeah.
Bridge deal guy.
Bridge deal.
That's the type of guy you want to give to bridge
best
deal.
Player we is he the best player we've ever drafted? Probably.
Give him a bridge deal. Let's bridge him.
And then surprise when he leaves.
Yeah. And we should time that bridge when Johnny Gaudreau's contract's up too. I guess they're
it's perfect timing. Let's do that.
Let's throw all the risks into one basket all at once. That's really good management.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, we won't
suffer any consequences.
Yeah, I know. And we won't recoup any assets either during that whole entire
duration. Fine.
Yeah.
That'll be fine. Yeah. So yeah, Craig did say, like you're saying, that he wants guys to be here. And I think too many people, like you're saying, take that as like, oh, you want to attract big free agents and want to be able to sign guys. It's like, no. No, that's the opposite of what you want. You don't, and that is the lifeblood of a small market team in a shitty location like Calgary. And the fact that it has never been prioritized ever of like, okay, what do we focus on? We focus on building the biggest, most elite prospect pool, and then we keep those guys. We have a culture and a willingness to home grow our stars and keep them. That's the lifeblood of a small market team like Calgary, because all I ever hear is fucking endless, oh, this guy wants to leave and that guy wants to leave and he's from America.
He's American.
He didn't want to be. He didn't want to be. Yeah, well.
What's he supposed to do? That's not the GM's fault. That's
treat them properly. Pay them properly. Commit to them. Instead of giving all your money to a bunch of UFA bums who are just looking for a big payday, pay your guys.
Roll out the red carpet.
Totally.
They have to feel like they're the most important fucking person.
Oh, Tkachuk is never going to sign. Yeah, what if you said, hey, Matthew, you're our future. How about 90 million? How about max deal 9 million a year? That would have got it done every day of the week.
And he was ready. That's what he wanted. That's what the player wanted. It blows my mind.
Like you're saying, why? Why do these guys want to leave? Like,
Johnny, another example.
Yeah, exactly. Like he's
why all of a sudden after seven years would you rather play in Columbus than Calgary?
It should be like, no, you're of course I'm not gonna leave.
It's because they didn't feel appreciated.
And it's not even that they weren't.
Oh
well, yeah, we're gonna lowball you because you had a bad season in the COVID year.
Yeah, you're so, a best player and you're the biggest impact on the ice. But we're gonna tell you,
fuck
to tone
you.
It down.
We don't want to pay you guys just yet. So can you prove it to us?
And P.S. Could you tone it down a little bit?
Yeah,
while you're at it.
And no captaincy, also. But
well, that's the other thing on my list here. There's so many factors that led to Tkachuk leaving. Why wasn't this guy the moment Gio was gone? No, I think we'll wait.
Yeah, we got to wait. Mickey Mouse Club.
We got to wait here now. I guess that's ultimately Daryl's fault. But if you're Brad, Connie said it. We're naming a captain. If you're Brad, you say we're picking a fucking captain to Daryl. It's not his, like.
Oh, yeah. Even Conroy said. He said it annoyed me that we didn't have a captain for 2 years. Yeah, same.
Yeah. Same. Yeah. We just lost. I don't honestly even lost. Deal. You think Matthew Tkachuk's going to bail on his team if he's the captain? Has a captain ever done that in history? Doubt it. I highly fucking doubt it. Do you think that there's any aspect of Tkachuk that's fueled by this? Is this part of his motivation this year to show?
Are you fucking, of course.
This goal is for you, Brad. Do you think he hates Brad or Daryl more?
On the surface level,
it's probably Daryl, but deep down, it's probably Brad.
Yeah, it's deep down. Like, see, you guys didn't believe in me. Screw you guys.
Yeah, here's this is why you should have signed me that long-term deal.
And now I'm in Miami making tax-free. They're doing this little documentary behind the scenes thing for the NHL. Man, they just spend like 10 minutes at his house. It's just like, look, man. You can't even blame the guy.
Dude, we spend so much time on this, and it's not because, well, it is, because we can't get over it.
Yeah.
But it's because it's so important.
And
do this ever again. If you're if you're the manager of this organization or any part of it, any type of quote-unquote management, half the time it's air quotes when we refer to this management. But You can never let this happen again, ever. And you need to learn from this. And I hope Craig fucking learned. It sounds like he did. Let's hope.
He sure seemed to learn from the. He talked about Johnny Gaudreau at length. Johnny Gaudreau broke this poor man's heart.
Well, because that was
Craig's done deal. Boy. Done deal,
Craig's,
man.
That was Craig's boy. Right? Wasn't Craig the guy that recruited him and shit?
Yep. He went to.
So he's going to have a little soft. Him. If you're Craig, you're forever going to have a little soft spot for Johnny because that was your guy. And look how great it turned out. Like, you got the accolades. Like, goes right. So, like I said, I mean, the only time we belabor it because it's fucking still a hot topic, but
it's still a hot topic. And it's because it's like that's the root of the problem with this franchise, really. Like, again, can talk about all the bullshit about how, oh, nobody's having fun, toxic work environment, blah, 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 blah. It's like the problem is the Flames have never, ever been an elite team at drafting. And an elite team at retaining their talent. And the most shining example of it is just staring us in the face as he marches towards a Stanley Cup final.
And then, honestly, the most disturbing part about it to me is the lack of recognition of your part in it.
Yeah.
Like,
that just happened.
You created this. He did not just leave us. You let him leave. You created an environment where he wanted to try somewhere else. For fuck's sakes.
So, all right. Yeah. All right. That's where I hope Craig gets to. Or that's what I hope the vision for this team is. Because, like, they've sucked at everything managerial-wise forever. But, like, if you can be really good at drafting, and like that's the lifeblood. Even in that was the lifeblood in a pre-salary cap world. That's the lifeblood now. Like you draft well. You don't piss away all your picks on shitty players. You have a lot of drafts. You absolutely nail a lot of your picks, and then you get those guys into the lineup. You develop them. You keep them. That's how you create a winner.
You don't trade away your draft picks annually and never recoup them when your player's contract expires. You don't keep doing that. How many high-profile guys, or even medium to high-profile guys, did Brad actually retain before they either left to a different team or their contract expired? Can you think of any? I mean, you're usually good at rattling off the list.
I was going to say Monahan, but he used a first to dump him.
Yeah, so. Here's a first to take him. So, no.
I mean, like, Anderson and... Hannafin's up this like Anderson and Hannafin are kind of, and I guess Lindholm, but they didn't draft Lindholm.
I mean, you got Brody contract coming up, the Mark Giordano draft coming up.
Yeah. Just like leaving things.
If you
until...
knew you weren't going to protect him, why didn't you recoup? Like, fuck.
Well, and yeah, here's the other thing. Cause right. Like everyone, oh, Craig, we want him to be progressive. Like, the other thing he needs to stop doing, and I hope he's learned this lesson, is like, and when he says, yeah, one of his focuses is asset management, sure, that's great. But like you said, that doesn't necessarily mean the issue is, oh, you didn't get anything back for player X. It's not necessarily the issue. Part of the issue is, why do they want to leave in the first place? But then I think another thing the Flames have been just not good at is like, this is what Carolina does really good. They know when the player, and good teams, Colorado does this too. Like, you know when to let go of a player. Yep. And if you do lose him for nothing, like Carolina walked away from Dougie Hamilton, right? Like, whoa. But they knew, okay, well, we might get two really excellent years out of a guy who's almost 30. But then for the back half of that, for the most of that contract, we're going to be way overpaying him for what he's providing in his declining years. It's like same with like Colorado. Like, we're not going to pay Kadri.
Yep.
But we're going to let him go for nothing. We're going to take... that loss, but then the loss is going to be used in other areas appropriately. It's not like, because anytime the Flames lost anyone, Gio, Brody, anyone, it's just like, yeah, let's just blast that cap space on something else that's not even as good. It's not, let's use that creatively. Let's weaponize our cap space. Let's, you know, look for younger players. Let's pay our own guys, right? Like, oh, guys are leaving. Let's pay our own guys instead of going out and blowing it. So if Craig really means what he says about asset management. I hope that they're not looking at like, oh yeah, let's sign Lindholm to a huge deal and Backlund and Toffoli. And like, it doesn't have to be like this.
No,
it can't be like this.
The true asset management is you move either Backlund or Toffoli to start the season.
Well, here would be a good example. Like
Toffoli is not going to – Daryl's gone. Toffoli's not going to have a repeat season. This is an all-time high market value expiring contract. Trade him.
Totally.
Like he's only getting to get older and slower. His foot speed's already an issue. He can help a team this season. Absolutely he can. But you're going to lose him. And you're not – this is not a guy you want to re-sign.
You can't. And I mean, even look at Lindholm, like if the Flames are really committed to this, like, or progressive in our asset management, like I'm a little worried because Conroy's talking about how Lindholm is such a building block and a guy you build around. I get nailed to the cross for even suggesting that Elias Lindholm isn't the caliber of player Johnny Gaudreau is or Matthew Tkachuk is, but it's true.
It's true. Can't do it alone. Obviously
Lindholm is what, 28 right now. He's going to be 29 in December.
Those Swedes do have a little bit longer shelf life, but
he could be, you know, he could age very well. But are you going to commit $9+ million a year for Elias Lindholm?
Dude, he's not worth nine, is he?
He's not going to get anything less than Bo Horvat's money. 8.5, 9. Are you going to pay Elias Lindholm through his 30s, post apex Elias Lindholm, $8.5, $9 million when you already have two guys who are, one in Kadri who's well over 30 and Huberto who's going to be 30, are you going to have $26.5 million locked up into three guys who have already played their best hockey in their career? I think how he handles the Lindholm thing will be really interesting. Sorry for the interruption. We need to pay some bills, so if you want to skip this, press the little 10-second ahead button about 15 times. Raycon wireless earbuds are premium audio at the perfect price point, so you can listen to what you want and ignore people on the street when you see them when you want without breaking the bank. It's a super affordable way to be antisocial and to have people leave you alone when you don't want to talk to them when you're out in public. Raycon's mission is to prove that you shouldn't have to break the bank for quality sound and essential smart tech listening features. You can get a pair and a spare. I can't spare a square. And still pay less than you would with some of the other big name tech brands out there. They have an easy and free return guarantee, 2 years of product protection insurance for just a few bucks, free domestic shipping and flat fee international shipping, and they have over 50,000 five-star reviews. So to get a sweet deal on some wireless earbuds, go to buyraycon.com/THPN today to get 15% off your Raycon order. That's buyraycon.com/THPN to score 15% off. Buyraycon.com/THPN. It's another sports betting ad. DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered during the NHL playoffs. Right now, new customers can make $5 bets and score $150 in bonus bets instantly. All kinds of lines and odds are available from the DraftKings Sportsbook app for upcoming games. I think the only thing they don't let you bet on is how many times Ron McLean is going to weep during an Oilers loss. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and sign up with code THPN. New customers can make a $5 hockey playoff bet and score $150 in bonus bets instantly. Code is THPN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Eligibility restrictions apply. Please see the show notes for details and a disclaimer.
Doesn't that sound like he's already talking about signing him to a giant
Yeah, deal? It does. It's kind of worrisome. So
these are lessons I've learned, but I'm not going to learn from them.
Right, exactly. Like the lesson from Johnny Gaudreau isn't that you can't apply the Johnny Gaudreau situation directly to the Elias Lindholm situation or the Tyler Toffoli situation, meaning you either have to sign them or trade them. It's that you have to do what's best for the organization with that player.
In the timeline, whatever you're working with, and you have to think about the future as well. Future timeline.
Exactly.
Like, so when that contract sucks, I mean, the Stars have done it, right? They still have the Ben and Sagan. Imagine if they didn't have the Ben and Sagan contracts.
It'd be great.
Nice cross check to the face, Ben.
But yeah, that was brutal. Remember when he speared Chucky in the balls and everyone just chuckled?
Took a good one there.
Just pretty funny there.
Could you imagine that was McDavid?
oh my goodness, sort of a national inquiry.
Yeah.
But all to say is like
someone would have developed a testicle
there would have been a division, yes.
There would have been a telepathic testicle communication device just so they could find out how Connor's testicle was doing.
The entire league, exactly.
Connor, how's your testicle doing?
Oh, pretty good. There's the left nut's really tender. Tell my right nut to shut down. It's getting noisy.
Do you imagine if Connor McDavid? Oh, dude. Fuck, I hate that loser.
But it was Chucky. It's kind of weird that Chucky now has, like, respect. Like, nobody seems to think he's a rat anymore, which is, like, we always knew that he was an absolute top-notch star and not a dirty rat that everybody portrayed him to be.
Dude, dirty rat. How about you're watching the end of Game 3? It's a one-goal game. Florida's got the one-goal lead. Did they win that 1-0?
Yep, they sure did.
They're winning offense, less defense. But final minute, Sam Bennett, most important game of the franchise. And how many
all decades? Time they went to the cup final in 96.
Most important minute, Sam Bennett's out there. Matthew Chuck's out there as well, but he should obviously be there. Beth, fucking Sam fucking Bennett. Couldn't crack the third line in Calgary.
No good. Jankowski over.
Couldn't crack it. Couldn't crack that center position.
We need Mark out there.
Do we need to go through the entire conversation we just had about fucking... No, we don't need to. But there's another example.
So, the UFA thing, Craig, like, I want them to be like Carolina and Colorado. And that's another main problem. Hey, if one main problem for the Flames has been drafting, developing, and retaining their players, another problem has been this deficit spending and their money. The money that's being spent is so dead all the time. Like, you're paying way too much for guys who don't do anything. And then you're losing guys who you may otherwise have because you're paying those guys so much.
Can you believe... Like that Lucic anchor, that lasted fucking three seasons too long. Imagine you did not have to pay Lucic $6 million those last two seasons. Just fucking imagine. Who could we have had on our team instead of Lucic last season going to the second round? Who could we have had this season? Do you think we could have scored two more goals and make the playoffs? Like, fuck.
Just start being like
Carolina. Learn that lesson as well, please. That's your example of like, okay, this is not going to age that well. Are we going to be able to manage the shit end of this contract as well? Oh, we'll get it figured out when we get there.
Well, and you know what?
Pass the pineapple.
Worry about that later. Oh, Toronto's in for a real treat. But like you Hawaiian, look at...
please. Did anybody look at... anyone see the Hawaiian?
Where's the sausage? Oh, who's got the pierogi pizza? Oh, is that Craig, you dirty bastard.
Where's the dips? Nobody ordered dips? Come on, you guys.
Focus. Dips. I'm ordering some dips. Brad, Jim Benning's on the phone. He wants to trade you Elias Pettersson. Oh, Brad's not here actually right now. He ran out to get some dip. Oh, okay, you rescinded the Pettersson offer? Oh, fuck. All right. But if you look at like Carolina's salary cap and just like look at their contracts, every contract is at max efficiency, every single one. They're not overpaying anybody.
What's he supposed to do that?
And they get creative with stuff. It's like, remember how they got Brett Burns and Max Pacioretty for nothing? Those are the kind of progressive moves I want to see, and that's part of this where I'm like, yeah, I don't know if Conroy and his new management team, because like, what's really different between Craig and Dave Nonis and Brad and Craig? I don't know. We'll see, I guess. But
okay, you don't like Nonis. A lot of people don't like this. Finish your topic and let's go to Nonis when you're done.
No, I think I'm pretty much done. But it's just like, you know, like the Flames just need to get so many things in order. Drafting, developing. Number one, I'm glad he's saying that. I'm glad he's talking about things like asset management. I'm glad these are things he realizes are important. I just hope that he's learned enough from Brad's mistakes. And he also has, you know, enough of a long-term vision and the wherewithal to like push this through to the ownership, because you know, like this is all well and good until it's like 2 years, 3 years in, and Murray Edwards is like, and owner's like, hey, well, you know, kind of fucking around and meddling a bit. It's like, are you going to, and I think that maybe is one of the benefits of having Craig in that position.
Yeah, I agree. It's Brad, like, it's such a pushover, man.
Yeah, totally. And it's
well,
like,
Mr. Edwards, do you have a moment? Can't you see I'm busy? Sorry, sir. I'll come back later.
Leave it on the desk. It's like Clark Griswold, exactly.
Leave it on the desk, tree head.
It's tree living, sir. What? But, you know, like Conroy being a, having the instant fan support works both ways against the ownership now, too, because it's like, they know that we will support Craig through all of this, and maybe that gives him some level ground when he's dealing with ownership and having to push back. So I hope he's able to do that.
Thoughts on the Iggy thing? Let's go to Iggy before we get the notice.
Yeah, I mean,
again, like it's funny because you and I are talking about this. It's like, man, they're really gonna fucking lean on this 0-4 thing until until when? Until we win the next Stanley Cup in 100 years. Remember in 04? No, that guy's dead.
Do you remember the coach from 04? Oh, shit. We just fired him. Shit.
They don't even play on fuck. They don't even wear skates anymore. That was back when they wore skates. Oh, fuck. Well, we're, those guys are. Can we bring them out of the old folks home and bring them into the. Can we do that?
Who was
that? Because you have people are like, we should just fucking go for an all over.
Yeah, everyone's like, oh, get Jelena in here. And I think he's already worked for the team.
Tange, which wasn't on the team in 04, but
Tange close enough.
For head coach. Yeah, close enough.
Yeah, I've seen like,
Jelena, what happened to Jelena?
Yeah, is he still with on the team? I think he's involved
I think he's somewhere. I haven't seen him or heard from him. And
Murray Edwards fed him to his sharks, probably. Where is he working?
How about Jelena should be the personal trainer.
Yeah. Oh, there's a good role. Yeah. I agree with that.
Can we get these guys in as good a shape as Jelena was?
His legs were the size of like my entire body.
Oh yeah, he'd be taking hits on one leg, and people would be bouncing off them. This is a fucking freak show.
Guy was a monster. Who else can we get in? Not Kipper, obviously. He's busy.
No, he should be the goalie coach. Hey, just do Zoom sessions. Still be better than fucking what's his face.
Kipper's just like, fuck, is this? Smoked, got a dart. He's just darting like, beer.
Put a cigarette in your mouth, you pussy. If you can't smoke and save pucks, you can't stop pucks.
If you can't smoke a pack in intermission and have a 54 save shutout in playoffs, you're not cut out for the NHL.
But yeah, really playing up the 0-4. Hey, it worked on me. Works on me.
Still. It honestly didn't work on me until they posted their little like video montage of Conroy, and I was like, fuck, they got me.
Yeah, unfinished business. Here we go again.
Yeah, round 2. How long until they turn on Conroy?
Oh man, that's gonna be a sad. Well, no. Okay, if people are gonna this fan base is weird.
They're weird.
They'll stand up and defend tree living, but they'll probably start attacking Conroy.
Right. That's what I never understood. Is like, okay, you don't respect Daryl Sutter. Like, you're gonna stand up for Point Dexter, but not Daryl. Come on.
Grow up here. Let's go. Okay, Dave Nonis. I have a Leafs a buddy that is a Leafs fan. He's like, dude, why the fuck would you pick hired Nonis?
And where, it seems like get him out of mothballs or what? Like, jeez.
Like, oh, where's Dave? Oh, did anybody unlock him out of the basement? He's been there for 12 years now.
He looked like it in the press conference. Yeah, sure. Holy shit.
Speaking of mothballs, that suit was fucking destroyed.
Looks like he's about 90 years old.
I don't know much about Nonis. I just
he must have left the Twinkies in the basement, though, because he looked well fed.
Him and Frank Cervelli scrapping for the last Twinkie.
Mine, no, it's mine.
All right, tell us about Nonis. Tell us the bad.
Well, I mean, I don't get it. Like, why? What do we need Dave Nonis for?
Tell us the bad, the worst, and the ugly. Okay.
What do we need Dave Nonis for? And see, this is where I get in the more like, hey, what has actually changed, right? Because like, you look at everything. In the process up to this has been kind of has been done to maintain the status quo. Well, they wanted Brad to stay.
Yeah. You're then good they, at noticing this type of stuff.
Then they wanted Maloney to do the job. Then they're like, okay, we'll get that guy who's been here for 12 years. He'll do the job with the assistance of like what does Dave Nonis bring to this team that they don't already have in like Don Maloney or Bob Murray for that matter? So now we have like what, three old washed GMs who weren't very good when they were in their prime or whatever you want to call it that are now on the team. Like what does he bring to the team? You know, like he doesn't bring anything.
Was that ever communicated? This is why why I notice this.
I guess it's like, oh, because he's experienced. Experienced in what? He signed, like, all you got to do is look at his signing history. Remember David Clarkson?
Experience in being a bad GM.
Exactly. Correct. Everyone's like, he's got experience. Experience doing what exactly? Being terrible? Great. That's exactly what we need. More. Awesome. Oh, so it's just like, that's where I get like, oh, this is still... All of this is being done to perpetuate more of the same, just like with some rearrange some deck chairs. Because what's different? Brad's gone, Craig's in, and Nonis is in. That's and really Iggy, all this
Iggy's,
different.
Iggy's coming, maybe.
Maybe so, Iggy's coming to shine up the turd a little bit for us. You know? It's like, put some shine on that piece of shit. But it's just like, that's what I don't get. It's like, we need another bumbling old hawk. Because that's where I like... I don't trust their process because, like, right? Oh, young, progressive, new ideas. Dave Nonis!
Dave Nonis! There's a big red flag hiding beneath this or behind this whole grass is green with Connery, eh?
Dave Nonis! Like, it's like.
You're probably right, dude. You're probably ending. Right.
You're usually cut right off one stuff. Head and 10 more sprout. So I think I'm just back to where I was at with Brad. Is like, hey, like, I just hope Conroy can cut through the mire of shit. It's like Craig's in a pool of shit, and can he find his way out of it, or does he drown in it? It's like, what does Dave Nonis have to be a part of it? And so everyone's like, oh, he's gonna be helping with contracts. It's like, why does Craig need help with contracts when he's been with the team for 12 years? And like what's it? I don't get it. I was really hoping they were gonna bring in, because I know everyone was like, oh, get Tulsky as GM. I was hoping the Flames were going to get like their Tulsky type guy as assistant GM, like what Chris Snow would probably be if he didn't have his health problems. And he's still on the staff.
Instead, we got the opposite.
Yeah, it's like, oh, good. We got another old bumbling fool who definitely doesn't have new ideas. And sorry if that's harsh to Dave Nonis. I probably shouldn't have thrown fool in there. I mean, the David Clarkson contract. He signed Dion Phaneuf to a 7-year, $49 million deal. So maybe the fool thing does stand. But, you know, it's just like we already have 20 of these guys, like, right? Like, what does he bring you that's different than what Don Maloney brings or Bob Murray or like Brad Treliving for that matter or Brian Burke, right? Just like. Just it just shows you that it's like, hey, yeah, this may be just this really isn't all that different, you know?
Yep. I mean, and that's the devil's advocate. I mean, usually your devil's advocate is pretty bang on, so.
So
curb your enthusiasm on the whole new hirings. I mean, sure, if 04 is nice, and that's why we're enthused.
Oh,
04, remember that?
Fuck, Murray's that just great. Like, holy shit, that was easy to get these fans back on my side. Right. Should have been hiring players for GM years ago. Brilliant.
The other, so we're still waiting for the coach. I mean, have you seen or heard anything in terms of where this is steering? They're still obviously in the process of looking for the replacement. But dude, if they went internal with Craig, they're going internal for the coach. Or are they?
I'd be pretty surprised if they didn't go Love or Koska.
I've heard Gallant's name tossed out there, but mostly by like SportsCenter and you know, not people associated with the organization or the Calgary Flames media. So. Yeah, that'd be my guess. I don't know. Do you think you would go off the go outside the organization and pick a guy up like Gallant? I'd like to see Gallant, but
listen, everyone seems to hate Gallant. I like guy's done a lot of winning for how much hate he gets. I guess maybe
isn't he a player's coach too?
No, he's really mean. He's mean. He was mean to the Rangers this year. He only led them to like first place in the Eastern Conference final last year, but he's so mean.
Gosh, I wish he was nicer.
Yeah, if he was nicer, it'd be off. If he was just focused on fun.
I thought he was deemed a player's coach. I mean, you can tell you.
I can't tell. I can't keep track of who's a piece of shit non-player's coach and who's a great guy player's coach. Everybody loves him. Anyway.
By the way, there's nothing in between either.
No, there's not.
I guess John Cooper is the only.
John Cooper is the only guy.
Well, wait till those old guys turn over to young guys. You better smarten up.
Totally.
Better start removing those curse words. Can't be
you
having
say
that.
Curse word, I hang up.
Seinfeld? Football?
Cartwright? I'm Cartwright. Of course I'm not Cartwright.
Chinese restaurant. Make sure classic. You watch that. All-time classic.
Classic. Well, yeah, I don't know. Gallant coached Huberto in junior and in Florida.
So did Brunette, didn't he? Brunette is actually in the...
I've heard Brunette. I think the most credible people around Flames land have been saying, like, Kirk Muller, Ryan Huska, and Mitch Love are all getting
interviewed. Dude. Yeah, let's hire... Why let's the promote the guy.
Muller needs... Yeah.
Dude, why is this...
I like how they're like, yeah, we want to... Craig's like, yeah, we want to play more of an offensive creativity. Yeah, let's hire Kirk Muller. The guy who run the worst power play of all time.
At least the power play might be better, eh? Because how could it get any worse?
Couldn't get worse.
A monkey could run the power play and get better results.
Why don't they just let Huberto pick the coach at this point?
Yeah, that was a good tweet I saw today. Has Huberto picked the next coach yet? Did he pick his coach?
He can just do like...
We're all waiting. Why don't we end this right now? Huberto, who do you want to be your coach? Okay, who it's going to be. All right, let's go.
That's as easy as that. It'd be
why
easy.
Bother? Why would you bother? They shouldn't be interviewing coaches. They should be interviewing the players.
Exactly.
Who do you guys want to coach you?
Why don't we put it to a vote?
Put it to a vote. Uyghur, are you going to be happy with this guy?
We're going to do it in a fun way, though. We're going to have a fun little silly vote.
Put on their party hats.
That's right. And you're going to find...
Gotta have fun.
You're going to find a shiny piece of construction paper under your stall, and we're all going to write three words that describe
pick your favorite
how we're
color
feeling.
Of glitter. Pick your favorite color, the color of glitter pen. You got to write the coach's name with your glitter on it.
It's not even an exaggeration at this point.
Not even.
I just want to
have fun. Look down the bench and make sure guys are smiling. Hey, you having fun?
I'm having a great time.
Craig's going to be there for the first 3 weeks.
Fun police.
Season. Yeah. Excuse me. You having fun? Fuck, I just got hit in the fucking bag with a fucking... Of course not. Uh-oh.
Craig's here. Better smile.
Can we call a timeout?
It's so much fun. I'm bleeding half to death.
Everybody put your Craig Conroy smile on her. Here he is.
That's where I get fed up with these fucking media guys who are so upset. Oh, it's going to be fun again. It's so refreshing. Wasn't it 2 years ago when all I heard about is how like Johnny Gaudreau and Sean Monahan just need to try harder and like and hate to lose more? Isn't Fan 960 is telling me about the only thing left to do at this point is healthy scratch these guys.
Yeah.
You can't do anything else until they try harder and hate to lose more. But now it's all about fun though.
Yeah, that's weird, eh?
You don't want to try too hard. Johnny Gaudreau's in for it now that Daryl Sutter's here. He's going to put his foot down 10 minutes later. Daryl Sutter's such an asshole. He put a dark cloud over the whole organization and dumped all the fun out of it. Now I remember the good old days when it was fun around here, and I was complaining that it was too much fun and the guys didn't try hard enough. Bunch of idiots.
Just a pendulum, eh? Back and forth?
Back and forth to one extreme of stupidity to the other.
I don't know. I can't remember what I was saying. There's somebody.
Sorry.
I was talking about this Twitter comment, but.
Oh, Twitter. Huberto should pick the coach.
No. I remember what I was. I got it. I was talking to someone on Twitter and I can't remember what they were saying, but I was like, okay. Yeah, it was the whole Conroy thing. Because before it was announced, it was like, okay, it's probably going to be Conroy. And then your first initial reaction is, oh, God. I thought they were going to fucking actually do some potential hiring outside, but no. And then I'm like, okay, well, more of the same. Great. And someone's like, well, you got to give him a chance, blah, blah, blah. The coaching, this and that, and the replacing the fun thing, right? The fun. And I'm like, sorry, I'm just... You know, still a little, what is it called? You got the PTSD from when we were told that Yeah, we were told that having fun was so important, and you know, the music and practice and the handball guy led us to such a great season. Maybe I'm a little jaded by that still, to be hearing about how fun is a priority all of a sudden.
And also just tying this to the coaching thing, not only fun, but like having a coach that relates to the players too, because Conroy said that multiple times. It's like, when have I heard that before? Well, yeah, remember when he took Gullitson on a hike to convince him to take the job and he was going to be the freaking God communicator to all the young players? Yeah, how'd that work out with Sam Bennett? Glenn was really good at communicating with Sam Bennett and Dougie Hamilton and, you know, all those young guys who aren't on the team anymore.
Got to be nice if we had a guy like Chris Versteeg that could just run the power play for the coach again.
Why don't they hire Versteeg for the power, for the assistant coach?
Dude, no shit.
Available? Great idea.
Great idea. He's an
I don't mind the Tangay thing.
Hey, he fits the criteria. Fits the number one criteria. He's an ex-Flame. Perfect.
Perfect.
Sign him up. What else can he do? Nothing, but he played here.
Played here.
Works for me.
Really nice, and he's fun. But
he's hilarious, dude.
The communicator thing, like, that bugs me. I've heard that shit before.
You brought in Kirk Muller to communicate with the players.
Yeah, he didn't do a very good job of that, eh?
Yeah, how'd that go? How was Huberto's season?
He just didn't get enough communication.
Maybe they should have fired the assistant coach instead.
Oh, shit. So none of this dumb BS. Just hire a good coach. I don't want to hear the buzzwords. Oh, he's great communicating. Understands the modern player.
Really,
what
great
modern player? Huberto's 30. He's a modern player? He's a young player? No, he isn't. He's a full-grown man. We're like the oldest team in the league. You think Blake Coleman needs a guy who understands the young modern player? What about Backlund? Lindholm? These guys are old.
Markstrom?
Uyghur's 30, almost. Like, geez.
Kadri, he needs it.
Yeah, Kadri needs a young buck who's around his age who just understands his sensibility as a 33-year-old.
These fuckers better have an unbelievable season.
They better be so good. Huberto better. Here, I put it this way on Instagram, and I thought this was pretty good. This is right after Tkachuk scored his third. Tkachuk just scored again, by the way. It's 2-0 Florida.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, we got to get to the game here.
Yeah.
But Huberto, next year, Huberto better have. This was right after Tkachuk scored the third overtime winning goal of his playoff season, tying him with Maurice Richard for the all-time record. Richard.
Who's that?
We thought a guy who just tied him. Fuck. Anyways.
Is that the same guy the trophy's named after?
Holy shit. He wasn't good enough to be our captain, eh?
No.
Just tying records with the all-time greats.
He never wanted to play in Calgary.
Christ. But after I saw that goal, I was like, Huberto better have 200 points next year, better single-handedly lead to the Flames to the Stanley Cup, and die on the cross and be resurrected to pay for my sins, for this to be an acceptable season from him next year. That's the bare minimum.
Oh, God. That is the bare minimum. Like seriously. Uyghur, you better not have fucking take 60 games to figure it out again. Huberto, you better not take 82-plus games to figure it out again. Still hasn't figured it out.
Still is in his at the Florida games, probably just like, oh, I don't know what
happened. Kadri, you better not play 5 games and take the rest of the season off. Who do you think the coach is going to be? What's your prediction?
I think it's going to be Love or Huska.
Dude, if they're going internal, they better go Love. Like, I don't. Well, I guess Huska's been the assistant. He's been the ass coach. Watch they go Muller. Oh my God.
Oh, how the place will
I'd
blow.
Be pulling the plug. I'd be pulling the plug.
Yeah, it would be funny.
I'm already thinking about switching fan bases here anyway. So,
dude, I'm just loving Florida,
you know what?
So much.
Make my decision for me. Just give me Muller so I can just be a Panthers fan from now on. Call it the Matthew Tkachuk podcast. Fuck it.
Yeah, I think we can pivot to a Matthew Tkachuk podcast. I think that's what we spend most of our time talking about anyway, so it wouldn't be that big a deal.
Yeah, we'll just talk about how he was a Flame. That's all we were talking about.
Yeah.
Hey, remember this game? Let's be like, remember the game we did this?
Dude, the guy gave us enough in 5 years that we would have plenty to talk about.
Remember when he absolutely triggered the most biggest Neanderthal ever to play the sport?
It was crazy because Mike Rupp on Twitter, former player, broke down the the goal he scored in game three overtime. And yep. there's just this play where they're on the power play. And before Reinhardt or Bennett, Sam Bennett, remember Sam Bennett? Yeah. Setting up goals in game in overtime. Who's Eastern Conference final. Yeah.
Who's that? Who drafted him?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. It's slipping my mind.
What round did he go?
I think we got like 2 second round picks for him or something. That was great. But
Who?
Tkachuk ties up Jordan Staal's stick. Like it's just like he ties his stick up before Bennett passes it so he can get it to Reinhardt. And it's just like that's what people I don't think.
And that's the thing. Where was that Tkachuk? What the fuck were you watching? What are you
talking about?
That's all he ever did was dominate everybody. It was awesome.
And people who didn't like, because obviously a lot of people don't watch the Flames very much. Like that's why we were so adamant. Like this guy's so fucking good. You don't even realize he like thinks the game so fast. Yep. A whole nother level. I was just thinking of that time. Remember when somebody shot the puck over the glass and it was going out for a penalty and he was on the bench and he swats it out of the air from going in the stands from the bench?
Yep.
Brilliant.
Almost got away with it.
I think he did get a penalty. But who thinks of that?
They were getting a penalty anyways for play a game. So.
Oh, I see.
So technically, he didn't even get a penalty. All right, well, we'll see what happens. Fuck, this second round's been... Dude, this is the same... Okay, they were showing this last night. Tim McAuliffe is great at doing the highlights, by the way. But Lakers get swept. Miami, the eighth seed, is up 3-0 on the Celtics. Florida is en route to sweeping Carolina. They're up 2-0 right now.
It's 2-1. Stassi just scored.
And Vegas goes up 3-0 against Dallas. It's crazy. This is a crazy semi. Dude, I think the fucking Panthers are going to... This is nuts, dude.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Matthew Tkachuk is going to the Stanley Cup final, folks.
So just to recap...
If you had to pick right now, who wins the Conn Smythe, Tkachuk or Bobrovsky?
It's getting close to Bobrovsky because he's been so unreal.
It's getting neck and neck. But you got back-to-back overtime winners? Come on, dude.
Dude, he's got three. He tied the record for overtime winners in a playoff season. It was some guy, Mel Hill from 1939, had three. Corey Perry in 2016, 2017 had three. Maurice Richard in the 50s, I think, had three. And Tkachuk this year.
Well, it's the most valuable player of the playoffs. That's Conn Smythe, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think Chucky has the edge over Bobrovsky.
Yeah.
But it is getting close. But
Eichel's making a case too. Eichel's been dynamite. But
well, they're going to give it to the winning team, obviously. Well, not obviously, but it depends. If they don't, it'll be Bobrovsky or who knows? It could go game seven and still be, but. Looks like Vegas and Panthers in the final. Insane. Okay, let's wrap it up with the last kind of puzzle piece. The Flames are going to name a captain. I pulled the fan base. This is a fucking huge response to this. Let me pull it up. So I did not include Tanev. I actually forgot about him. So maybe that says something. But here's your top four picks: Backlund, Anderson, Weegar, or Huberto. Who should be the next captain?
Well, I know you and I are kind of in the... I guess you can go through the results first if you want.
Doesn't matter. There's 1,639 votes. Backlund is by far and away the number one leader, 47%. Anderson in second place, 23%. Weegar close third, 21%. Huberto 9%. And I don't know how you select one of these guys. Like, it's going to be because, like, what are you looking for? What's the intention behind the captaincy? If you're the Flames organization, do you just want, like, what do you want? Because I think we're both kind of the argument that, look, you're setting a new direction. If Huberto has a repeat season, you're so fucked. If he can't refine his game, you're so fucked. You're like all success in the next 3 years is going to be depending on what Huberto does. you need him to be your guy. And I get the argument that Backlund is currently the guy. He is the on-ice leader. He was last season. But there's a lot of people pushing back on that because he's signed for one more season?
Yeah, he's UFA at the end of this upcoming season.
So would you strategically make your captain with an expiring contract? The Flames probably would.
Unless it's Tkachuk, they would.
So I think you got to go Huberto, dude. Don't you want to see, this is your chance, man. Fresh slate, fresh direction.
Exactly.
We're putting our faith in you, right? Instead of the opposite. You're a captain. You're a guy. Let's go. Take us.
Treat Huberto like you should have treated Chucky, even though at this point he doesn't deserve it.
No. This is your team now. This is your team now.
It is his team. Like you said, we're stuck with this. So, and I know people are like, you can't put the pressure on him. Yes, you can.
Dude. What pressure?
You have to.
The guy makes 10 and a half mil. He's got no pressure. He guys is going to have one worry in his life outside of hockey. Give me a fucking break.
Doing Aperol commercials. But, I think guys like Chucky, giving them a captain's... That's what I heard. Oh, he's not a captain. It's guys like Chucky want it and thrive on it and are better once you give it to them. Maybe some other guys like Huberto. Maybe he would be better with that thrust upon him. Some guys accept responsibility right away and are better. Some guys are the opposite.
Maybe he'd have a little more pride.
Maybe. That'd be nice.
I mean, he is French.
I would still go somebody who is... And I guess it does kind of have to come from who everybody respects and shit in the dressing room. But
or somebody commented, we are complaining, got a new arena, and then he complained and got a new coach. So maybe he's a leader.
Yeah, he's a great leader. Just complain maybe to you want.
Could you complain about losing?
Could you? More? Yeah, complain about sucking ass and either missing the playoffs or making it 1 year, missing the next year. Complain about that, please. Could you openly complain about how this team doesn't do a very good job of drafting and developing players? Please, please.
Complain about the power play. Please?
Yeah, Uyghur, please complain about the... Jeez, dude. Come on, you're on a roll here.
Get the complaint list out. Let's go.
I would go something like Huberto or... I'm not on the Backlund camp unless he's signed. And even then, I'm kind of I don't know.
I'm not, man.
It's just ship has sailed. It's like you said, this is the chance. This is the new direction. There's no more of this going backwards.
Let's stop going backwards, everybody. You can't move forwards. Well, maybe you can. Maybe he's, I don't know.
It doesn't feel right.
Solid
to me.
It doesn't feel solid. It doesn't feel right. You have a chance to the captaincy to make an investment into your future. I think that's what you got to do. You don't look at an investment into the current. You got to invest in your future. Let's go.
I agree.
I don't know. Weirs.
Yeah, I don't Weir, know.
Like Weir is your captain?
He's kind of a good talker and a cool guy. I don't know if he's captain material.
He kind of just existed for the first 60 games of the season, didn't he?
Yeah.
You want a guy that just kind of exists to be your captain?
I think natural leadership, I think maybe...
Or do you want a guy that spins himself into oblivion to be your captain?
Guy probably has a thing. What's that drama mean when you get motion sickness? He's probably got to always have that on the bench. Just every shift he's been spinning himself. He's I'm going to puke. Give me some gravel.
I'd still go Huberto. I wouldn't even have a second pick, man. You think you have to do it?
There's,
yeah. And I hate the guy. Okay. So there you go. That's how much I'm willing to take a risk and a bet on my future.
You have to. That's the thing. You have to.
And look, learn from your mistakes. You had a fork in the road. You should have made Tkachuk your captain. Look what happened. Obviously, Huberto is locked up, but what do you got to lose? Really? He's going to be just as shitty? Oh, well. That's kind of where I'm at anyways.
Exactly.
Half expecting him to suck forever. I don't see. I honestly, he's the only. He's my only selection.
Yeah, same.
All right, man. Wrap it up. Final thoughts.
Let's go Panthers.
Let's go Sammy. Let's go Sam.
Chucky. Did you see Sam absolutely murder Jacob Slavin just now?
No, I don't have the game on. But I just sent you. All you have to do is watch the game for 10 minutes and watch. Oh, Sam just absolutely murdered somebody. Oh, Matthew Tkachuk murdering. Oh, fuck, man. Those guys are fun to watch.
Yeah, it's enjoyable.
Yeah, let's go Panthers.
The Calgary Flames and Brad Tree Living have mutually agreed to part ways. Take your time, do the analysis, and come up with the next step.
Announced this morning that we're replacing Daryl Sutter, relieving him of his head coaching duties.
But no, we're not going to overreact here.
We're not going to overreact here. Overreact here. Overreact here.
You use the word, not me. I'm not allowed to ever use the word rebuild.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.